Super Senpai Podcast. Welcome to the Super Senpai Podcast. This is a monthly, episodic, tokusatsu-related podcast where we'll fight you if you diskaiju. I'm Pat.
And I'm Grant. And joining us is a special guest tonight because we actually are doing a bit of a special episode. You probably know him from the Toho Yaro podcast and from the One Piece podcast. Please welcome Joey Weiser to the pod.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for being on.
Yeah, it's good to have you here.
I'm happy to be on. I'm a fan of the show.
Aw, thank you. And it's nice to finally, I have journeyed over on your side of the fence. Welcome to our side of the railroad tracks, if you will, this side of town. So
and yeah, Grant is on an episode of Toho Yaro where we talked about Godzilla versus Monster Zero, so
yes,
that was really fun.
That was a fun episode. And now you get to be our third. We need to have three tonight because we are not watching Lupat. We are going to eventually get back to Lupin Ranger versus Pat Ranger. We promise, we swear, we will finish it. But tonight, we are going to be watching two episodes of Ninpu Sentai Hurricaneer. Woo! It's going to be fun. Is that the noise? Sounds.
I don't know if it works.
Shoo-shoo.
Yeah, so that's going to be pretty exciting. We're looking forward to that. But I guess first let's get into how we been, guys. It's been a little while since we've been on the show. Have we been watching anything? Having a grand old time?
As of yesterday, I started up Nexus again, so I'm going to finish an Ultraman show finally.
Yeah, okay. Where are you at in Nexus? How are you doing? Did you restart it? Did you go back to where you were?
Yeah, I started. I mean, I think it was in the last time I checked, I was near the beginning. So I just started in the middle of episode one and have been working through it. And it's been pretty cool. Like, the vibe I get usually from Ultraman's relationship with people is that, that's Ultraman, he's gonna save us or whatever, but this is like, I don't know about that silver giant. And it's like, oh, this is kind of weird. Like, this lady shot at Nexus in episode two, and I was like, are you serious? Did you just shoot at an Ultraman? Did that happen? Can you do that? He's gonna leave us. But yeah, I dig it so far. Only thing I would say, it's like three episodes in, and it seems like the same monster. I was hoping for other ones, but we'll see how this goes. I'm sure.
Oh, that's weird.
Sure it'll,
yeah, I'm sure they eventually will. Ultra's a pretty consistent with bringing back at least facsimiles of former kaiju. They like to do a lot of callbacks. Mm-hmm. Now, when was Nexus released?
Oh, geez, I forgot to look at the year.
Oh, is it like, I don't know, early 2000s?
Yeah, early, mid-2000s. I remember, well, okay. The reason I picked it was because I had seen it like a long time ago. Not like seen it, but I'd seen, how do I say this? I was like, hey, tokusatsu is a thing. Before I even knew what the word was, I was like, oh, those kind of like rubber suit shows. And Nexus was like the one at the time, or the modern one. So I was like, whoa, this is cool. I'm going to make it my icon, even though I don't know anything about it. So my DeviantArt, the icon of my DeviantArt is still Nexus, so that's
a
thing.
Time to put your, whatever, pixels where your mouth is and actually, like, see the thing that you've been having as your image.
Now, what's the hook or the gimmick for Nexus? Is there, or has that developed yet?
The gimmick, hard to say.
Sorry, I didn't mean to stump you.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the vibe of that it's potentially a threat, because it's like, there's like an organization that hunts down space beasts, I think is the word they're using, and they are the ones that usually exterminate the invaders, and this other thing showed up that's also fighting them, and they're like, I don't know how to deal with this, so it's kind of like, the perspective is a little bit interesting, because the Ultra is like just some dude that nobody really knows that shows up and does it.
Right.
But the main, it seems to sort of focus on like an observer character who's part of the, I forget what the word is, kind of like a rescue, not like science team, but like extermination team. Like they're there to kill. Yeah.
We don't do science. What's that thing we do? Exterminate.
Yeah.
It's like that episode of Freakazoid where he goes and there's like a monster research institute, but they don't actually research anything. They just blow up monsters all day.
Oh boy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it sounds right.
Yeah, that's it's a one-to-one match. Okay, well, cool. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're getting into Ultra, even though I've not seen Nexus. Ultra was also sort of my gate. It's funny that you mentioned, like, I guess, I don't know, for me it was a gateway into sort of my modern era of fandom, was realizing that Ultraman was just on Hulu and I could just watch it. So, like, I started with Ultra and have sort of come back around to Sentai and Kamen Rider. So it's, I have a very fond feeling for it. And it's Ultraman Day today. Yay!
Yeah, yay. Happy Ultraman Day. Yeah, I'm a big... So I'm a big fan of Ultra Q through Ultra 7, like those first three.
Yeah, they're good.
And, you know, even though Q is kind of a different thing, but, like, I just don't quite connect with anything past that. I've seen a good chunk of Leo, and I've seen some of Max was the time that I tried a modern one. I know that there's, like, Orbs supposed to be really good. And,
it is, yeah.
Yeah, but I haven't tried the newer stuff out recently, but I love those old ones. For sure.
Yeah, the older ones definitely hue or him, I guess, closer to being more like Twilight Zone, and then sometimes a giant monster shows up. It's a little bit weirder and hairier. I'm a huge, huge fan of 66 and Ultra 7. I think Ultra 7 is probably the stronger show, but I just love the classic design. Was it 66 or 67 Ultraman, now that I think about it? I don't remember. The OG Ultraman. But I love that the old original design. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I get what you mean.
Yeah, I love that one too, but I 7's probably my favorite.
Yeah, 7's really good. The modern ones are definitely more toyetic. Like, you know, Super Aya is, there's cards and there's changers and there's toys and spark dolls or, you know, whatever they are. But I definitely recommend, I mean, personally, for a modern one, like, I mean, I can only recommend what I've seen, but Orb is good, and I think Geed is really, really good too. Both of those shows are just really, really...
Yeah,
kind of phenomenal. Like,
I've heard Mabius recommended quite a lot.
Oh yeah. Mabius is kind of the one that at least, you know, I haven't seen it yet, but a lot of people in the Ultra sphere sort of consider it one of the tops of the sort of modern cut. Anything post 2000s, a lot of people are going to jump straight to Mabius and say you need to watch this. But it is a longer run. I think with the more modern ones like X and Orb and G, they've been doing like 26 episodes, so it's a little more digestible. So.
I think Nexus is 38, so I don't know where Mabius falls on that.
I think Mabius also 38, or is it 50? I don't know. It's longer, I know.
Yeah, and it's a little bit, I guess, being more savvy, sometimes you're a little bit more, not necessarily actually on-set experience or anything, but being a little bit more film savvy and seeing, like, how edits happen. Like, the night shot where they're clearly shooting in day, but, like, put a blue filter over everything.
Right. Yeah, right.
That one, that's more jarring to me, I would say, than the giant CGI or rubber suit monster, and I don't know what it is. Like, I don't mind the other one, but the blue thing was, like, bugging me a little bit on one of the episodes I'd seen.
Right.
But thinking about the toyetic aspect of it, I'm like, I don't... Would the kid want this weird monster blob? Because it's kind of formless thing. But I guess on top of, like, the Nexus soft vinyl and maybe some kind of figure later, the science or extermination squad's, like, weapons or ship, I don't know. I was like, what's the kid gonna buy from the show? I want to know. You know, paying attention to that, like, way more because of the more toyetic shows.
I think the neat thing, at least from my money, one of the nice things about X, Orb, and Geed, I mean, Ultra, I think Ultra is really strong just because it's got, I don't know, the Super Aya production, those sets are just really, really good. I always love their set work. But the nice thing about X and Orb and Geed is they're all a little bit... They've got a lot of throwback elements, which is common for Ultra to bring back old kaiju and stuff. But they use them in different ways that are kind of fun, at least to me, whether you're a fan or not. Like, for example, in X, Gamora, like, is like a monster that frequently appears throughout the Ultra series. But in this, he gets to be an armor set for Ultraman. He gets, like, super claws or something when he uses Cyber Gamora or whatever. And then, like, Geed and Orb have a fusion gimmick where every Ultra form is a combination of two older forms, which is a way to both sort of... You get to see both the old and the new at the same time because the new form is some amalgamation of the two, so it's its own design. But you get to see, like, oh, there's Taro and there's Seven. And, oh, you know, here's their cool new form, and it's some mix of their powers. So it's kind of a fun throwback in that way. But you don't actually, like... I mean, Ultra has... The Ultra series is really weird to me. It has, like, two levels of lore. It has, like, complete surface value. There's no lore. You don't need to know anything. And then there's no middle ground, and there's just, like, the Giga Brain lore that exists that connects it all together that is incredibly impenetrable. And, like, I don't know that. I just know a little bit. So, Dre, have you been watching anything Toku-related?
Yeah, I've... Let's see. Well, I've actually... I had recently gotten the Hurricanger box set, which I know we're going to be talking about later. So that's the mainly what I've been watching. I'm about 20 episodes into that.
Okay.
And I've also been checking out Ryu Soldier as it's been airing, the current Sentai show. And that's been really fun. I think that's a fun show. It's had some interesting monsters, and the like night theme is an interesting thing that I hadn't seen before. And so that's it's been pretty fun. I'm not like super gung-ho about it yet, but I feel like a lot of times the Sentai shows take like a handful of episodes before you really decide if you love them or not.
I mean, there's that old the Gintama title card or whatever that's like, you don't get into the Sentai series when it's new, and then when it's over you miss it, like so yeah, I agree with you there. So now, have you seen
I was gonna nod to that too, but I was like, I don't watch Gintama, so I don't know if this is gonna like could Grant said it.
I have the Gintama street cred, I guess. Hey, don't bite my hand, cat. Sorry, I got randomly attacked by a cat for saying I had Gintama street cred, I guess. So now, have you seen Hurricanger before, Joey, or is this your first watch? Or
yeah, I mean, do you want to like should I go through my kind of Tokyo history, like Sentai history thing?
Tell us.
Yeah, I've been thinking back about it a little bit because I knew I was coming on the show, and it's a kind of a bit of a windy road, so strap in. It's got some starts and stops, but like, you know, it started with me being super into Godzilla as a kid and like just renting those tapes over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that sort of foundation of that. But like, as far as like Super Sentai is concerned, you know, it started with Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, just like probably a lot of your listeners and people in our age range.
I'm clapping like a church choir back here.
Yeah, definitely. But like, it kind of hit like at a weird time for me. Like, I think it started, I'm not sure. I think it started like around fifth grade or something for me. So it was kind of like perfect at that point. But as I started getting a little older, it's kind of sixth and seventh grade, I definitely distinctly remember with Power Rangers specifically kind of having that thing where I'm like, I like this thing, but I feel a little too old. Like, I'm starting to feel kind of like, you know, when like you're watching something and you're totally, I don't know if this is, if you'll have the same experience, but I definitely had a thing where I was like, I'd be watching something and I'd be totally into it. And then one of my parents walks into the room and I suddenly like see it through their eyes. And it's like, oh no.
You know? No, I was just watching the news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys hear about that disaster at Angel Grove in California? Well, that's what I've been checking up on, trying to stay abreast.
Yeah. Some strange seismic activity. So I kind of like naturally aged out of it, I guess. I don't know that I even necessarily finished the series. Like, I definitely remember all the drama with Tommy and the Green Ranger, White Ranger stuff. But like, I don't recall how the series ended, so I may have just not even watched it all the way through. So yeah, so that's that. And then, but then skip ahead to college. I have a friend who is a classmate of mine, another cartoonist named, well, I know him by Hunter Clark is his like nickname, but he publishes under the name Wookjin Clark, and he did like a graphic novel for Oni Press a while ago called Mega Go-Go that was Super Sentai inspired, and he just finished up a run on a comic for Image, Flavor, which was really great. But anyway, he's into this stuff, and I remember kind of seeing him like drawing sketches in his sketchbook based off of like photo books and stuff like that. And I definitely remember kind of being like, Power Rangers? Really? That's a thing that you can be into? But like, you know, But, you know, I'm a Japan nerd, and I'm into, like, shonen anime and manga and stuff, so I'm definitely not, you know, I've dipped my toes in kids' entertainment for sure. So I was curious, and he had these, like, DVD box sets that were these, like, Hong Kong bootleg DVDs.
The sacred texts, like, as Luke Skywalker would say.
And they were like of entire series, and he lent me Hurricanger. So Hurricanger is actually like my first Japanese Sentai show that I ever saw. Wow. Yeah, so it definitely like has a special place in my heart. And I definitely remember when I was first watching it, I started watching it with this very like ironic detachment, especially like like mirroring that thing I was talking about parents. Like, whenever a roommate or my girlfriend or whoever was in the room, I'd be kind of like, I don't know, this is something that Hunter's into. I don't know. but like, I eventually like found myself being pretty surprised by like how dramatic it was and how kind of invested in the characters and stuff I was finding myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you guys know about, like, the general thing with Hurricanger is that there's these two factions to start. There's the Hurricangers and then there's the Gorigers, and like the Hurricangers, our heroes, are like descended from a group of ninja that like wiped out the Gorigers' like ancestors, basically. And so there's a lot of like interesting drama to be had from that.
Right.
Right. And so, yeah, by the end of that, I was like totally like, yes, I love this. But then he lent me Gowranger, which is like one of the animal ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it was maybe the one that was before it. I don't know. Gowranger, I don't know if this is like a testament to it not being as good of a show, or if I was just kind of burning out, or the novelty was wearing off, or whatever. But like, I watched the whole thing and I did my due diligence, but I kind of by the end of it was like, I didn't like that as much. I don't know. And so I kind of like fell out. Like, it didn't, I was just like, okay, I'm good. Hurricanger was my thing. I'm not so into this. But like, Hunter and I stayed friends, and like, we'd check in with each other about what we were watching and stuff. He was getting into Kamen Rider and would show me clips of what he was watching and stuff. And I'd like, I tried out watching Decade, which was pretty cool. I like liked it, but it kind of like falls apart pretty hardcore at the end. Even when you watch the movie that was supposed to like make it make sense. So I don't know. Have you guys seen that one?
At the time we were watching that one live. And we're like, oh, wow. It's going to resolve, right? Oh, the movie. Okay, we'll watch the movie and it'll make sense, right? Okay.
Yeah, so again, it was just kind of like kind of a swing and a miss. It didn't quite like work. But then, and this is where things like turn around. One day, like Hunter was like, have you heard about what the new Super Sentai series is going to be? And I was like, no, tell me about it. He's like, okay, they're pirates. Like, okay. And like Grant said, I'm on the One Piece podcast a lot. I'm a big One Piece fan. And it's not that I'm specifically super into pirates, but it's just kind of like that was enough to be like, okay. And then he was like, and they can transform into all the Rangers of the past. And I was like, okay, I don't understand how that relates to them being pirates, but that's cool. It was kind of like Decade, so it had that kind of familiarity with me and stuff. So I was like, all right, I'm interested. So I checked this out, and obviously this is Gokaiger, right?
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah. And Gokaiger, so this is what like totally got me, because there's a few things about Gokaiger. First of all, the pirate thing. Not only is it like One Piece in the fact that it's about pirates, the like main cast is like 1-to-1, sometimes 1-to-2 like analogs for the Straw Hat pirates, which was something I would kind of chuckle about, and you could be sort of cynical about, but it gave me something to grab onto, you know, while I was watching it. And but more importantly, the thing with them transforming to all the Sentai of the past, what that does is it kind of gives you this like crash course in Super Sentai history.
Right.
Right. And like it shows you specifically like what's cool about all of them and like what makes them different from one another and what similarities they share and things like that. And so I definitely like, and around that same time, Forze was airing. So I checked that out, and Forze is like amazing.
Forze is so super good.
Yeah, right. And so basically by the end of that like cycle, I was like, okay, I'm into this stuff. And I'm not like hardcore enough that I watch everything, but like I definitely check out the first like handful of episodes of every season and like see if I want to keep watching or not.
Mm.
And that's like one of the nice things about the yearly cycle. If you have patience and other stuff to watch or whatever, like you can kind of say like, well, this one's not really working for me. I'll check back in next year.
Right.
You know? And so, yeah. And through my like viewing habits, I guess I've come down to realize that I'm still more of a Super Sentai fan than a Kamen Rider fan, because the only Rider shows I've actually finished are Decade and Forze and Build, because Build's incredible too. God,
Build is so good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I got pretty far into Ghost because I liked the like concept, and it has one of my favorite actors in it, Naoto Takanaka, as a sort of like spirit guide guy. But like the tone of that show was kind of unbearable, and I eventually was just like, no, I'm not into this. Dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, Super Sentai, like since Gokaiger, I've watched almost every season with a few exceptions. yeah, so it turns out I'm a Super Sentai guy through and through. Yeah, that's the basics for me.
I think it's really cool that you know that that's what you like, and you try, you gave it, like, the real, like, all right, I'm going to try it, let me see if this is, like, my jam or not. Because I feel like that's, yeah, I love that you can do that with this. And then sometimes it's like, maybe I'm not feeling these later on, and then there'll be an uproar around, like, episode 12. People are like, hey, you got to get back into this. Like, oh, okay, I'll come back later. Like, there's, it's long enough that you can take a break or chill out or wait to come back, right? And
yeah, like, I did that with Kyuranger. I kind of ducked out of that a dozen episodes in or something, and then, like, I don't know, I had some day where I didn't have anything else to do, and there had been another dozen episodes or so, and I was just like, hey, I'll check this out. I liked it fine, and I just ended up watching that all the way through.
Yeah, but on that same vein, I still have yet to finish a single Sentai show.
Oh, wow.
But have seen most of the Heisei and Neo Heisei shows, like, just tearing ass through them. I love that.
yeah, that's interesting. It seems like people do tend to kind of fall on one side or the other.
And that's fine, that's okay. That's good, you know what you like.
I'm definitely curious about the, like, old Kamen Riders, and I fear that they may not be, like, super watchable. I don't know. I'm not sure, but they sure look fun, and I love those the original designs and stuff.
Right.
The writers are, like, perfect.
Yeah, and I've read the original Kamen Rider manga.
Oh yeah.
And of course, you know, it's very much, and I think the show, from what I haven't watched the show more than just clips here and there, but just hearing it secondhand and having read the manga and seeing, I mean, it's very Shotaro Shinomori, and it's also kind of very primordial, like, it's still sort of emerging, and there's to hear it from people who have watched it and also enjoy Kamen Rider, there's just sort of a certain point at which that show sort of realizes what it's doing, like, it's sort of discovering itself as it goes. So that's an interesting experiment, and I think I certainly want to see him too. I mean, it's a weird thing for myself, because I mean, Joey, like, you know here we are on our podcast, but you've seen more complete toku series than I have by far, just because I've really only been, like, aggressively, like, actually watching toku, like, in a consistent way, and maybe the past 3 or 4 years, I guess. Yeah, I guess about 3 years or so. So, like, I've only seen 4 or 5 Ultraman. I've only seen about 3 Sentai series all the way through. Like, a very small collection, but I just kind of, like, enjoy all of them because, you know, they touch on different. Each one has their own flavor. But, and I think, I know for myself, watching Batman 66 all the way through, in 2014, when that was finally released, definitely primed the pump to get ready for what Tokusatsu is going to throw at me, because it's definitely there's a similar sort of, like, you just kind of have to meet these series on their terms to some degree, and once you do, like, if you're picking up what they're putting down, it's something special. So, but it's really cool that you also are
an interesting comparison.
I've made the argument before that if Batman 66 had continued as sort of a tradition, right? Like, as a sort of a television tradition in some form, that we would have something similar to, you know, what Tokusatsu is, live action superhero television. I mean, I've recently finished Kaku Ranger, and it's in no small part, like, there's just elements of that show, like, it's like I'm watching, like, Adam West might as well be running around, like, with all the hit flashes and stuff like that, and the sort of silly goofery that happens, and then but of course, obviously, Toku has the back half of these series always hits you with the poignant, the feels, you know, which is that heavy drama. But, well, cool. I'm glad that you were going to revisit your sort of your first love, as it were.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's been interesting watching these again since then, because it's like, I don't know. It's like, I don't, like, super remember the entire series, so it's almost like watching it for the first time, but it's always kind of like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
And I definitely am seeing, like, what I loved about it, but it's also now, having seen a lot more and a more modern stuff, it's a little more simple than the, like, ones that I've been watching over the past, you know, however many years, 5 years or whatever that was.
Right, right. Well, cool. I guess,
Grant, do you want to just go straight into the episodes? I feel like stepping back to do news would be a little bit weird.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let's go straight in. So we are going to watch the first 2 episodes then of Hurricanger, and then well, after we come back, we'll talk about how we feel about it. Now, Pat, have you seen any Hurricanger?
Not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, Sentai is sort of my blind spot when it comes to Toku, which is strange because conceptually it's everywhere. You see it in everything, but I'm very much looking forward to this.
Okay. Well, now for myself, cool. I've not seen any. I mean, I own the set. I haven't seen any, but I have seen in my Power Rangers chronological rewatch, I have seen and completed Ninja Storm, which was, thankfully, I'm already sort of predisposed to like this because Ninja Storm is a really good season, not just of Power Rangers, but it's just good children's television.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm
don't
pretty...
really know anything about it.
I mean, so some of what you described, the two different warring factions and stuff, that theme is present in the show. They're obviously, you know, kids who like to do BMX stuff, so they're not exactly like descended from ancient ninja clans, but there's an element of there's two groups here that are sort of at odds with one another, and that's a big theme in the show. So, well, cool. So we ready to jump in and watch those episodes, boys?
Let's do it.
Okay.
この番組は楽しい時を作るグループ PRT とザ・コミック・フィンドとご覧のスポンサーの提供でお送りします。
And we're back. Wow, like, I was ready for some ninja action tonight and I got so much ninja action. But real quick, let's go over what we saw. So we watched the first two episodes of Hurricanger. We are introduced to the main team, sort of like three ninja that can do ninja things, but their master shows up and calls them slackers. Apparently they're kind of the bottom of the class. There's an invading ninja clan that, while they're doing like some kind of greeting thing, show up, seal all everybody else in the school, as well as their master. They just throw the seal on them. They get sucked up into the ship, or I don't know what exactly happens. The school gets hit with a big piece of paper, too. Then the master gets away from it by turning into a hamster. Just, I don't know if that's what he wanted, but he does that. They show up late, so that's the slacker part. And they try to show down with the monster that showed up, like a weak Lubu. And they do what they can. They get wrecked, and then the operator kind of rescues them at the last minute. Turns out it's the master's daughter who says, hey, you know what? You were slackers, but master saw something in you. Here's the hurricane your powers. Go ahead. You got to do something because otherwise we're in trouble.
Nobody else around.
Oh, yeah. So they show up, they deal with the monster. We get a taste of their combined weapon. And at a certain point, they end up kind of in trouble. And we see in the shadows two other Hurricanger that kind of hold back, but then they pull the combined weapon, they end up destroying the not Lubu guy. And then right at the end of the first episode, they hear their master's voice coming from a hamster that one of the big bads is holding, and they kind of run up to rescue him, but all of the other sort of generals show up. And in the very next episode, they pretend to take a hit, like a big attack from them, but actually use that opportunity to rescue the master. We see that now that sort of they've graduated, in a sense, they're able to go out into the world and have part-time jobs. Or I don't know if this was jobs that they had before becoming Hurricanger or what. Blue gets roped into becoming an idol. Red is a window washer / task doer, like he just rescues some lady's handkerchief. And Yellow is a caretaker for kids, which I feel like he's been at it for a while because I don't know how easily they would just let some guy help out with a bunch of children. But it turns out Blue is actually not going to be a pop idol, but a replacement for an Enka singer. So she does like a performance, everybody's enchanted, and Red suddenly gets kind of mad that they are like not taking their stuff job seriously as Hurricanger, because they took off, both Yellow and Blue took off their, I don't remember the morpher.
Gyro.
The morpher was. Yeah. So they took that off. Meanwhile, Magnet Monster shows up, starts turning people into big, horrible statues. Just terrible things. And the Red tries to solo it, but it's too much. And thankfully, right before he takes like a spear to the face, Master Hamster summons or calls for Blue and Yellow to show up, and they do. They end up beating him, but this time around, what the giant monster is actually like a giant robot that copies the abilities of defeated dudes. So the giant thing copies the magnet monster. So we have giant magnet monster, and our operator summons Zords from one, a plane that was probably in use, a cruise ship, and then a big chunk of a theme park. And so using these Zords, which are, what was it? It's a hawk, a dolphin, and a lion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lion, the Ferris wheel is like the lion's mane.
That's right. Yeah, Ferris wheel and roller coaster's the body somehow. So they take the Zords, they fight the magnet monster. It's not quite enough, so then they end up combining into Senpujin. We get to see our first giant Megazord Hisatsu thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think that's, did I miss anything? Does that cover one and two?
Yeah, that,
I think it's a sword, the like gadget ball thing.
Yes, oh, that's yes. Right. Yeah, for their super, they everybody put in their quarters and then turned the capsule machine, and they got a cool sword out of it. So
yeah,
it's a pretty good pull.
Got a 3-star sword. You know, I mean, it's not bad. It's not bad
for beginner's luck, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to use real-world currency for it. It was just the in-game currency. So, I really enjoyed that. I had a lot of fun with both those episodes. Yeah, no, it was good. Obviously, I know it was fun. I think particularly comparing to Ninja Storm, like the two, we'll just call them the later Rangers that show up, having a brief cameo early on, and then be like, no, it's not the time, and like walking away. It's just good drama. I liked some of the comparison stuff, like I think Ninja Storm has a very different main villain. So the main villain in this is sort of a giant space centipede ninja guy on a throne, who's just this kind of like enormous monster man. And he's just more of a, I guess you would class him as, I mean, if their master is Splinter, this character is more of a Shredder type. He's just a guy in armor, but he has this kind of, I don't want to call it like a southern accent, but he's got kind of a weird drawl to how he talks, and it kind of works in a weird way. He's a really specific and weird character that I like, but it is, I do like all the villain designs and everything. Our heroes being kind of klutzy. I think the big belly laugh for me was them forgetting to grab their Hurricangers, their morphers on the way out for the first time.
Oh yeah.
That was really funny. So I like it. I like it a lot so far. It's a good early pitch, and it's working for me.
Awesome.
What about? Yeah, it seemed. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just ask. What about you, Pat?
Oh, yeah. I feel like this hits this. It's in the sweet spot of, I think you had described it where they're still. I mean, not that they use it that much less, but the necessity of practical effects for a lot of these shots. My favorite shot, my most memorable one, what I'm trying to recover right now, is the hang glider shot from the first episode where Red just swoops in through the dust of an attack, grabs the enemy with one hand and just starts slapping him with his other hand. And like, he's completely stiff in the shot, so he's slapping a mannequin in the air. It's and he just drops him, and he just... It's beautiful.
That's so good.
I love it so much.
Yeah, that hang glider clothesline. You know, you see a lot of stuff in these sort of formulaic shows that you're like, this is when this happens, this is when this happens, but I was not ready for the hang glider clothesline. That was that was new to me.
I loved when Yellow gets his big hammer and he's just slamming the ground and the like they're just with wires like lifting up the actor up and down because he's like bouncing from the force or whatever of it, and it's just like humiliation on top of like being damaged being dealt to this guy.
delightful is the word.
Yeah. I think the thing that appeals to me about this season and seasons like it, like say Abba Ranger, is that the smaller cast, I mean, we haven't really seen it much here. They have to sort of run through and show you the first wave of toys. You know, we're very early on in the season. We don't have a lot of time yet with the characters specifically. But with just a smaller cast, you know, you think about how much time is taken up. Like, okay, if we're going to show all five Rangers use each of their five special weapons, we have to show five people doing it. And then when each of them has to get a little moment to do at least one cool attack when they fight the Mooks, and they have to at least get one or two tries against the monster. But with only three cast members, you don't have to do as much of that. Like, you don't have to spend quite as much time doing the same thing. so you can do different things and you have just more time with them. And I really appreciate that. Like, I don't know, like it feels like the, say like the ranger specific weapons, like you mentioned, Joey, the Quake hammer, or the one that's just clearly a hairdryer or whatever. Like, we see them quite a bit, and a lot of times, at least in some of the Sentai seasons that I've seen, you get these really specific weapons that don't really get a lot of screen time because there's, you know, five or six or seven of them, and like, who's got time to show that many specific unique weapons doing specific unique things? But because there's a lot less, you can just show them doing cool stuff.
Yeah, and I like that there's then also time for them to like have these like part-time jobs that we get a little like B-plot for, and like those jobs like maintain throughout the whole series. Like,
oh really?
That's a part of their characters, and that's a kind of fun thing that you maybe wouldn't get with a larger cast, to like give everyone jobs that have little tiny plot lines and things like that.
Yeah, especially because there's only three of them, so you can do three different things, whereas if you had five or six, that would be kind of hard to do. I mean, I know in, by comparison, Kaku Ranger, they all have the food truck, right? Like, that's a pretty common thing. Like, they all work in like a, you know, a restaurant or something, or a bistro or what have you, but they all had like the food truck. But yeah, because there's only three, they can have three very different jobs, and we still have enough time to kind of follow them. That's kind of neat. It's good that they keep that.
Yeah, totally.
I think we got a little bit of that. I mean, I've only seen like the first 10 episodes maybe of Die Ranger, but I recall them having lives outside of it, or trying to, like, they weren't always together. Because Blue, I believe, was a boxing club.
I'm trying to remember now. Yeah,
Blue was a boxer or in some kind of martial arts club, and there was a thing about while he was training. What? He was trying to confess to a girl that was in the club. So it was like lives outside of it, at least, is a thing that they have done before.
Yeah.
To hear that it becomes sort of something that they focus on because they have the room for it, that is nice. And we definitely get spoiled on like later stuff where it's like, oh, there's going to be so many of them later on. But I don't know how Q-Ranger handled it, but I imagine that was like really hard to manage.
Yeah, one of my favorite series, maybe my favorite, is Kyoryuger, where by the end of the series there's 10 rangers, but that's kind of like following its whole like love of things being over the top and stuff like that, and it's a really fun show, and but it builds that way, whereas Kyoryuger, it basically starts with 9 characters. And that was one of the problems I had with that show, is I was like, I don't feel like I know or am attached to any of these characters besides their one like personality quirk or something like that.
Right.
So I was having some trouble with that show, for sure.
Yeah, it's tough to 9 characters right out the gate in a 22-minute-ish show. That's tough to juggle. Yeah. And do all the other, because Sentai has, you know, you have to have the regular fighting, you have to have the suit fighting, you have to have the mecha fighting, you have to have the vehicle fight, you know, which we also have to comment, not having bikes, but instead having hang gliders is such a curveball, but I totally love it. I completely love it.
That was really fun. For sure.
Yeah, and you warned us about it too, that we would just get to appreciate that hang glider shot for the ending theme, and you know what? It was pretty nice.
Yeah. Like,
weirdly peaceful and terrifying at the same time.
Yeah, that ending theme is sung by the guy that did the Dragon Ball Z theme songs, and it's nice. I like that guy. It has a sort of classic Japanese fun TV show vibe. To me.
So this was a surprise for me also. So in Ninja Storm, the master also is turned into a hamster or a rodent, and I was like, okay, I don't know if this is in Hurricane or not, or if they're just sort of playing with the Ninja Turtles connection here with these sort of like, you know, teenage ninjas, and like, I was like, this seems so specific, how can this not just be them playing in that same space? But no, that's just what happens. Of course, I don't think there's an animatronic in Ninja Storm. I don't recall that powerful animatronic like they've got in this one, which is a sight to behold. I mean, just wow.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's like, it's like Splinter from the movies, only like worse. But yeah, you know, I had like in my sort of recollections of the show, I was like, oh yeah, and their master is like cursed and he's trapped as a hamster because of something the bad guys did. But no, he transforms himself into the hamster, but he messed up the spell, so he's stuck, which I think is hilarious.
Wow.
But yeah, I feel like the hamster is a like big selling point of the show. I think it's a real fun thing. And yeah, you would get some like animatronics of this sort of like Chuck E. Cheese from the waist up, you know, hamster kind of with animatronic eyes and mouth and stuff. So it's pretty like, you know, it's relatively advanced. And then, but my personal favorite is just like footage of a hamster like eating some treats or sniffing around or something. And then they dub this like manly man's voice being like, "You're all doing this wrong," or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's just some of that's that special sauce. That's that X factor that just makes it like, this is it. This is what I'm here for.
Totally.
It's interesting too how much of the side cast is the same. They're space ninjas, but the two non monster suit space ninjas, the two women, their costume designs are basically identical in Ninja Storm. Like, they just dress the exact same, and there's no real variation there. They pretty much acted the same, too. Then they're the daughter of the master, who's the sort of techie with the amazing Hurricanger Interbutton. There's another character who is the son of the master in Ninja Storm, and he is their techie, and he, like, stays at the base and designs their tech. Like, so there's a lot of... It's interesting to me how much of this was kept for that series. Which, again, is a really good series, and I really enjoy it. It's just interesting that how much they kept.
Yeah, and I love, like, those three actresses. Like, the woman that's sort of their, like, caretaker is really great. And I love those two, the two, like, female villains. They're both really fun. We don't, like, get too much in those two episodes of the lady who's supposed to be sort of the, like, you know, like, sexy femme fatale type lady. But we got a decent amount of the sort of like cuter girl because she got to hold the hamster. So we got, and she does a thing that we briefly saw where every time a monster dies, she like does a little stamp that's like, oh, this one failed. And then she eventually starts like rating the other members of like how many times their monsters have failed and things like that. And I like that gimmick. Ooh. Yeah.
So is there anything that we don't like about these two episodes? I mean, I realize it's just sort of the early stuff here, and that's not a whole lot to go on, but is there anything that we don't care for in these early bits?
I would say that when I first watched, or when I had just rewatched this recently after watching a lot more of the modern Sentai shows, the three main cast, as much as we love them, like, and they're fun to watch, like, their personalities weren't quite 100% defined from one another in a way that I think that has sort of been mastered over time. Or even older ones, because I just finished Jetman, and those are like a cast of very different types of characters and stuff like that. So I'd say that was my one thing coming back to this and watching it after seeing some more Super Sentai, as I was like, oh, these three like aren't so different from one another. They're like a really kind of lovable bunch to follow, but and they do have their own kind of personality quirks, but it's not quite as strongly defined as sometimes other characters are.
That's surprising hearing that, considering how small this cast appears to be from that. Like, you'd think that it would be easier, but maybe with a larger cast, they have to work a little harder to make them stand out more.
Yeah,
I don't know. But yeah, like, that is not to say that they're bad. The slacker ninja kind of goofball thing is immediately appealing. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know if we'd said this yet, but to start, they're already like, this guy can hide in the ground. This girl can run on water. That guy looks pretty skilled. Mm-hmm. But they're slackers? Like, what must the top of the class be like if these guys are the slackers?
I'll tell you what they're like, right? Pat. I'll tell you what they're like. They're dead.
Yeah, they're trapped inside little pieces of paper in a centipede castle.
I love the final boss. I love how intense he looks. I mean, they tend to be, of course, but like, this guy ain't leaving that chair, and when he does, it's a problem.
Yeah,
like a problem TM.
He's got that cool thing of like a sort of like stiff mask that they just move the mouth up and down, kind of like a fortune teller dummy or something like that. Yeah. And that's mm-hmm. just a very cool thing where it's like almost like the boss is a toy, you know, but he's very menacing and he has this imposing, he's like way bigger than all of his people and he's up on a pedestal and everything mm-hmm. literally. So he's very tough and mean looking, but it's also something cool that you can kind of like look at and be like, man, look at how they sculpted that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I will say an interesting, probably another one of those interesting hooks, and this is something I have actually a problem with some of the more modern Sentai stuff. It's become very in vogue now to, and I mean, I guess this was always the case to some degree, but the monster is very clearly defeated and explodes and dies and they just kind of make them big and don't really discuss it. Whereas mm-hmm. here, mm-hmm. I like the hook that, yeah, they defeat him on the ground and they're destroyed and yep, that's it. They're definitely dead. But then the space ninjas send a giant robot that copies them and then has their powers. And I kind of, I like that as a variation on the standard formula and also just kind of admits it like, yeah, we pretty much kill them when they're on the ground, don't we? Well, we just copy them. Like, that works for me, actually, because I think there's a bit, I think it takes away a little bit when, like, I'm trying to think back if this was like it in Z-Ranger or if it was just Power Rangers, but, you know, the villain would be, the monster would be on the ropes, and then Rita would make them grow, whereas, like, you know, we're watching Lupat right now, and, like, they pretty much just blow up the monster, and it's like, we're just bringing them, we're gonna make them big anyway. Like, I don't know, like, it just robs it a little bit because it's like, this looks like you killed them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's one of my favorite gimmicks for that is in Zoojer, the like animal one with the sort of furry one, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word, where the main cast are like animal people, where the monsters have little slots in them. And when they get defeated, one of the other characters will put a coin called a continue in that slot and it will make them giant. Which I thought was pretty cool. It's like literally like a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah, I think having to see, I'd like to see at least that, like how different series handle it. Because, yeah, that may be why I would push like Rider over Sentai, because that's not really a thing mm-hmm. on the Rider side of things. If you got Rider kicked, you're probably dead. Like, for real. And then you're not, a human won't die unless you get Rider kicked outside of the suit or some equivalent of it. I don't know if the word is suspension of disbelief, but you know the last 5 minutes are dedicated to the giant robot.
Yeah, right.
I think Die Ranger sometimes would do it without, maybe.
I think that happens occasionally.
Maybe that's just early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they can kind of... A lot of times when it's like they've got a new... Like they're combining gun super weapon or something like that could be the focus of an episode rather than the robot. And then towards kind of the end, a lot of times there's more like cliffhanger things and maybe it doesn't quite fit into the story, but
Because I remember in like the second episode, because we did watch Jetman last year,
we did,
or the first two of Jetman last year. They didn't even have the robot yet in episode two. So when the monster went giant, they had to like, it was like a giant gas, like, what do you call it? Like a gas, what do you call it? Gas machine.
Like a dry
gas pump?
Yeah, gas pump. Wow, that was bad. Anyway, the guy was a giant gas pump and they cut his line and set him on fire and that's how they blew him up. Like, that was... sick. That was amazing. I was like, heck yeah, I love this very much.
Yeah, your Jetman episode convinced me. I was already kind of considering it, but that convinced me to get that set and watch it, and that show's great.
Oh, well, there it is.
We did it. Excellent. We did the thing.
Yeah. I would like to go back to it at some point, so we have to hook up with Daisy again and get that going. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with this. I would put this on the this eternal queue of things to watch.
I'm slowly making my way through. I need to wrap up Kuga still because I let that languish. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to catch up on some seasonal anime for once, but I did finish Cocky Ranger this year, so I'm hoping to do O-Ranger next and just keep on progressing through these sets. It's been worthwhile. So
nice.
Yeah, this was really fun. I'm glad that this is, I mean, you know, we're only two episodes in, but it has the charm that Ninja Storm has, because again, I mean, that's what I have to compare it to, but Ninja Storm is a really good Power Ranger season. So I just assumed the base material was also good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's good. Yeah,
it's fun. It gets to draw from that kind of like ancient Japan. Oh, that was a thing that we were mentioning we liked a lot. Their transformation sequence has like sort of kabuki-esque like curtains, and yes, they dance around with those scarves and stuff, and the umbrellas and stuff. Like, that stuff's really fun.
Yeah, that works really, really well. And the way Red, you know, he holds his hand up and rolls his neck when he's talking like that. That's a great gimmick. That works.
Absolutely.
All right, well, boys, do we have any other final thoughts or anything?
Hurricaner's great. Hamster Boss is great.
Check it out on Shout Factory TV. Get the box set. Or just watch it. I was just watching it on their site. I didn't have to pay nothing for it, I think.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Easy access.
Cool.
All right. So, Joey, do you want to tell the people where they can find you in all your various outlets?
Yeah, sure. I'm at Joey Weiser on Twitter or Joey Weiser Comics on Instagram. I'm a cartoonist, actually. We didn't mention that at the top of the show, but I have a brand new graphic novel called Ghost Hog that just came out. You may have seen the Ghost Hog Free Comic Book Day issue. You can check that out and the Merman graphic novel series and see samples of that and other comics and stuff on my website, which is tragicplanet.com. That's tragic-planet.com. And listen to my Japanese movie club podcast, Toho Yaro. That's a monthly show, supposed to be monthly at least. Sometimes we get behind, but where it's me and two friends of mine, and we just kind of round robin each choose a movie sort of similar to Blade Licking Thieves, and we watch it and get back to each other and review it very, very thoroughly. Like, that's a show where we really like wring these movies dry. Yes. But like, yeah, so I suggest like finding one that's a movie that you've seen, or even maybe one that you haven't seen but don't care about spoilers and are interested in hearing about, and starting from there, and then after that you can kind of decide which episodes you want to listen to.
Yeah, and I definitely recommend Toho Yaro as someone who I enjoy your show. I obviously don't, some of the films that you review are quite specific, and I have not seen hardly any of them, but I really enjoy your pod, and because you guys are so detailed and so thorough in a way that Blade Licking Thieves very much is not.
Well, it's just two different styles of doing stuff.
But thanks again for being on, Joey. It was really great to have you on here, and fun to have someone a little more experienced with us as we jump into Hurricaner.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think for this episode, we talked about giving away, how much would you say it's like a volume? I have to look at it again. Giving away Ghost Hog, I think, with the shirt.
Oh, cool. Sure. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
We can make that happen.
Yeah, let's do that. Make it so we'll make sure to get one of those out. So we got some Twitter questions.
Yeah, we did. Let me pull that up. Nice.
One of these lucky ducks are gonna, it's gonna get drawn.
Drawn. All right. So our good buddy Paula, founder of Tokunet, asks, if you were Hayate's Way Ninja Academy ninja student, what would Mugen Sai Sensei scold you about?
Oh boy.
Well,
I'm not much of a ninja myself. I'd say he'd probably be like, hey, stop watching all these ninja movies and get out there and ninja yourself.
Yeah. Well, I think we all know where this goes for me. It would be constantly trying to make incredibly bad jokes out of every jutsu name, to the point where I'm probably not even doing them and failing at my ninja arts. And I'm really not quiet or stealthy person. I'm very clumsy and large and loud, so I think he would be scolding me for a lot, for just, everyone else is like hidden, completely invisible, you know, just under leaves and stuff, and then I'm just like stomping around the forest. I don't think he'd be very happy with me.
I'm gonna go with failing stealth sections in games where you're supposed to be sneaky. Like, you're so bad at being a ninja, and on top of that, you can't even be a ninja in a game where you're supposed to be. I think that's it, yeah.
We would not. We three would also not be a very good class. For everyone else's sake, let's hope we get hit with those papers, right?
Yeah, or, I mean, maybe we'll be the last three left, and we'll just gotta get those gyros and make it work.
Do you want the lives of that many Ferris wheel goers on your conscience, though? Like, do you want to shoulder that burden? My buddy Dan asks, out of the many Rangers and Sentai out there, which one stands out the most and or is the most relatable to your own personal lives? So, like, what, I guess, which Ranger, either person or character, who you relate to the most?
Well, I mean, do we all relate to Guy from Gokaiger, that's the big nerd, like the big Sentai nerd? Have you guys seen the Silver Ranger in Gokaiger, or know what his deal is?
Yeah, he's like the biggest fan of them, and so he gets like all the silver and white.
Yeah, yeah, and so he like knows all the, so he can kind of give them their like lessons when they don't know who these people are that they're transforming into and stuff. So I definitely can relate to that fanaticism about certain things.
I'm going to say Mega Ranger because they get their powers from video games. it's a test. It's nice. A real thing. And that was just because that was such a surprise to find out that that's what it was based on and not... What was the American adaptation of it? Was it in space?
For which one? Mega Ranger?
I think it was in space.
Yeah, that would have been in space.
Yeah. Like, that's an email. That's an email icon on the belt. Not whatever the hell else they claimed it to be or just told you to ignore. For the American show.
This is a toughie. I guess I'd probably say, I don't remember what his name was, but in Dire Ranger, there was like a friend of theirs who was really into turtles, and I'm pretty sure he transformed into the giant carrier Zord turtle, or at least helped them access the power. I don't remember. Anyway, I think turtles are really cool, and I'm not a ranger, so I relate to him on that front. I'm really cool. I think turtles are great, so...
Yeah, you're a real Kenny.
Yes, I really am.
That's not where I was expecting this to go, but okay.
I get his motivation. He thinks turtles are cool. He's awkward and not a ranger. Mm-hmm. I mean, there it is. Mm-hmm. So, our buddy Shu asks, what was your reaction when you found out the name was based on the first Harry Potter? So this...
Oh, man.
I don't get this.
Joey, please.
Do you have it? Okay. So the first Harry Potter had come out around this time and was a big hit. And the title of that is Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone or something, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so Harry is Hari, like Hari Kenja. And Kenja means philosopher, I think. It's something else from the other half of that title. And so, yeah. That's where they got the name, apparently, supposedly.
Let us not forget, Master turns into an owl in the very first episode.
So... Yeah, and it is sort of based around like a school atmosphere where they learn magic.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I think there's the Magi Ranger or whatever, that one where they're literally magicians, I think is also playing off of the popularity of Harry Potter.
Very much so. And it's very, it's a close, it's not too far after, it's only maybe 2 or 3 years later. Or maybe, I guess it was 2006 here, so yeah, about 3 years later. I mean, certainly the Power Rangers version is very clearly like playing on, I don't know if the Super Sentai footage was, but it definitely was in the American release.
Amazing. Yeah, I wasn't ready for that. I was like, I don't know how on earth this works, but I'm looking.
When I read that on Twitter the other day, I was just like, what? You've got to be kidding me.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like they mention it in some show, like maybe that one that's about the unofficial Rangers. I'm blanking on the name of it, but like, I think maybe that's where it's from. Somewhere that's like said on a show. And I definitely remember being like, they made a funny joke. But like, I think that it's true.
Let's see. Who else do we have here? Kilo asks us, hamsters, yes, no?
Oh, yes. All the way.
Yes. I think this is a pro hamster pod. Like, hamsters are good and valid.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And that is all the questions that I see. Thanks everybody for sending in your questions. They're quite a bit of fun to answer this time. And thanks again, Joey, for being on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was really fun.
Yeah, maybe we'll in another year and a half we'll watch two more episodes.
Yeah, sure. Anytime.
Oh man. All right, shall we sign out, my dudes?
Let us sign the out.
Thanks for tuning in to the Super Senpai Podcast. We'll notice you again next time.
Super Senpai Podcast.